it's time to turn off tablets, okay? Because it's almost bedtime.
Good night, Amelie.
You want to come over and tell my kid to turn her iPad off, please? Just like that? Okay, her little
Listen,
boy.
Yolanda over here, I'll come over and tell Kaya.
Welcome to Talk Like a Mother Parenting Autism Podcast. We are Jen, Kim, Rachel, and Jamie. Take a seat at our table as we share with hope, humor, and honesty.
Hello, and thank you for joining us as we continue Series 22, our self-love series, Episode 4. We are Talk Like a Mother Parenting Autism Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about self-motivation and self-improvement, what that means to each of us. I have the definitions here of what the Google says they are. So I'm going to read those to you real quick before we get started. Google says self-motivation is the force that keeps pushing us to go on. It's our internal drive to achieve, produce, develop, and keep moving forward. When you think you're ready to quit something or you just don't know how to start, your self-motivation is what pushes you to go on. And then there is self-improvement. And they say that is the act or process of improving one's self by one's own actions, which to me kind of seems like the same because you self-motivate to self-improve. But for me, it's talking inner, outer, how we kind of perceive ourselves, how we think other people see us. For me, self-motivation, like I'll just use my weight for an example. I get motivated by an event coming up. So I'm when we're going to see somebody or I'm going on vacation, or then I'm motivated to do better, to exercise, to eat better, which then I feel is self-improvement because you're healthier, you're better.
I think I get what you're saying. I feel like the self-motivation part comes in like the actionable or like the motivator behind it. So I hear you, like, I've got this thing coming up, so yeah. I'm gonna.
I mean, who doesn't crash diet before an event? I mean, it's like, oh my God, you're down to 6 weeks, 5 weeks.
I think my problem is, it's like, and I mean, I always hear this might be like an ADHD thing, but like, I can't keep that self-motivation and self-improvement ongoing unless there is something like that. So it's like the house is always kind of messy. I try to keep it pretty clean. It's never like disgusting, but like we're cluttery. I'm a cluttery person. But if someone's coming over or we have like a thing coming on the house, it's like, bam, then I clean the house faster than I've ever cleaned the house before. Like I have an issue with having that like ongoing motivation where I'm being balanced, I guess. Like that's my problem where I'm like, I can't find the motivation unless there's a big reason.
We used to call that birthday party clean. Like we'll be like, the house was birthday party clean. We like literally had a term for it. And it's so bad here that like my daughter gets pissed when we clean because it's like you only do that kind of cleaning. Block your ears, Jen. When like big stuff is happening. So she now associates, I think, cleaning the house and like moving things around. It's almost like, what's happening? Who's coming here? Like what shitstorm is coming my way? So crazy.
Self-motivation is hard though, because you literally have to be motivated to do something. And I know it's like exercise. I go on these binges of it where I know it's good for me. I know it's good for my heart. I know it's good for my body. I know it's good to move. But the last thing I want to do in the morning is get up on that treadmill. So it's like literally pep talk myself.
I feel like self-motivation is even just getting up off the couch. Sometimes depending on where my mental health is at, it's like I have to literally like push myself to do that or to leave the house because I get stuck in these ruts where I just don't even want to leave the house. I mean, aside from like work, you know, obviously I have to leave to go to work and come home, but like on the weekends where I don't even want to go anywhere. And I feel like I just get in these ruts and it's like I have to get myself motivated to get out of the house. I'm a big list person. I mean, I'm good for making a list and never doing anything about the list. So, but that does help motivate me sometimes to make a list. Sometimes I even do it mentally. Like I'll like lay there and I'll be like, I'll almost like visualize what like I want to do or what I need to do. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to get up. I'll do this. And I kind of like mentally do it in my head. Doesn't always work. Sometimes I just go back to sleep. But yeah, it's like, I need to get that motivation or like really think about like, not just an event, but like, I need to lose weight for my health. Like I have diabetes now. Like it's affecting me as I'm aging, like just getting up and down, like my knees hurt, like just different things like that. And it's like, you know, I just try to think of things of like, this is going to affect my quality of life. But like, still, it's like still so hard to like, you know, there's the motivation and then there's the being able to follow through with it. So it's like, sometimes I feel like I'm motivated, but when the follow through comes, I just don't always stick with it. And it doesn't matter. It's not just weight loss. It's other things as well, you know, connect more with people or to do more, just get out of the house more, just different things that like I know are good for my mental health, connect with my husband more, just different things that like I know like I need to do to be happier. And it's just finding a way to like get myself to do those things sometimes.
Yeah.
Like it's I could be that person
because with a list person with a mental health struggle, I identify with that so much because it goes from a motivating tool to like the list of the things you haven't done. And so flip when you're in like out of balance or if something else goes awry in the day, it suddenly becomes like instead of the 17 things you might do or the 16 things you maybe could do or should do, it's like the 15 things you never did. And the first you obviously do because it's make a list if you're smart at all.
That's my first thing. Make a list.
Yeah.
I make a lot of them, but then I don't actually look at the list of what I've got to do. I'm good until that event and I'll do what I need to do. And then when it's done, I just backslide into kind of where I was, you know.
So it's hard to stay motivated. It's even with like just connecting with people. Like it doesn't even have to be something like losing weight. It can be like, oh, being better about texting people or answering people or reaching out to people. You know, it's like getting yourself motivated to do stuff like that because it ultimately makes you feel better when you do those things. I think losing weight is just one like very small example of something that we would, you know, want to be motivated to do to improve yourself. You know, sometimes it might be like reading a book that you want to read or taking a cruise. Oh, did it. Just kidding.
Check.
I was real motivated for that one. You know, people, but even that, like I went on a cruise, I purchased it for my husband for a combined birthday and Christmas gift. We both have December and January birthdays. And then even after I booked it, I instantly started panicking like, oh, like we don't have passports. Like, what if something happens? What if we have to get back? What if the kids can't get a hold of us? Like, and I immediately stopped backpedaling and like, you know, to the point that like my anxiety's getting so high and like, you know, I just sometimes have to take a breath and just like do something. I mean, that's a big thing, obviously going on a cruise. It's not like you can just like walk out of your house and do it, but that's obviously a bigger, but then it was like so nice that we did that. We were able to reconnect. Like everybody was fine. Alyssa did great. And she didn't even want us back home. So like, well, next time it's going to be a 7-day cruise. But you know, it's just like even being motivated to do that. Like I'll do that thing where I'll look at this online for 3 months. And now by the time I go to do it, the prices are tripled. You can't get flights. Like, and it's just like, cause it's like my mind's motivated to do it, like thinking about it. But then the act of actually doing these things is like so much harder. Cause I feel like for me, I just give myself so many roadblocks. There's always so many reasons why I shouldn't do things and not like, I don't think of the things that I should do them, you know? Yeah.
My self-motivation, like Kim was talking about, it's like my stuff, as I've mentioned in every episode of this series, is so rooted in my mental health and like sort of self-preservation, not just motivation. I'm motivating myself to stay. And so the like smaller tasks in that are self-care. There are tasks of daily living. They're connecting with people, like you said, Kim. They're like getting out of my house and being like mindful, but to the point of making a list, it's like all of these tools and all of these things to motivate me or to move me through a moment or a goal or whatever. Also just is like the same language I use when it turns to hate, like self-hate. Like it's like, I should clean the bathroom. I should clean the kitchen because then I'll feel in control of things. I should floss my teeth, not just do this like minimal teeth brushing. Like I should blah, blah, blah. And then the shoulds don't happen. And then it's all of that.
Hey, kudos for actually brushing your teeth, Rachel. Okay.
I know, you know, it's growth. I mean, everything is, listen, I lost control of so many things. So it really is. It really is.
Well, it's mentally exhausting.
You know, I mean, it is, for crying out loud. But Jen, you had said like a word that really stuck with me because you said, I don't want to get up and move. And when I was in treatment for PTSD and depression, they talked about working grace for yourself into your dialogue. And so instead of being like, I have to exercise, and like just that word triggers so many things and so many peeps because it's so you should, you know? And so in mindfulness, and sort of being a healthier rage, I try and think of movement. So I choose the longer way, or I, instead of like loading up like a mom 15 loads of baskets of laundry, like up the stairs in one shot, I'm going to make the choice to take 10 trips of laundry baskets up. Just like a little bit of additional movement all the time is a little choice that I can make that keeps me motivated towards a bigger goal, but that it's like actually achievable. I also try to do habit stacking. So like if I'm actually being successful making dinner or something like that, I'll do a couple of laps like Jamie at the end of the night in the kitchen, or like, you know, just acknowledge that I'm successful in one way. And so if I can like piggyback on that, but I like the rings on the watch and like the notifications on my watch that say like, girl, you've not moved your ass in this long, get up. Cause it's hard. I mean, I get stuck a lot of time.
And it's hard. Like, I'm just going to go back to the weight thing because that's a big thing that sits heavy on me. Pardon the pun. And
pun intended.
Pun intended. And it's like when you feel that way about yourself, it's hard to self-motivate. You don't feel like you're improving anything. I think you have to be in a place to self-motivate yourself. And when you're in a rut or you're not feeling great about yourself, you feel you think negatively about yourself. So like, I'll be like, well, fuck it. I've already eaten today, so I'm just going to sabotage the rest of the month. You know, it's a very fine line for me. And I know you ladies know this. I struggle with it immensely. So it's like hard to kind of be like, okay, it's Monday, let's do it again. Let's find that motivation, you know, for me anyway. It's very hard.
I've been rocked since we talked about all of this stuff, kind of with Zoe. I mean, we talked about different things, but I just came away with our interview. I'm sorry, from our interview with her, with the idea that grace is going to matter more than anything else, like grace for myself and for the day and what shakes out of the day. And like, I don't know, I feel like the secret answer must be in there someplace where you're just okay with what you've accomplished and okay that there's still some left and giving yourself grace for all that did happen. You know, sometimes you're like, you get down on yourself for not leaving the house for the weekend, and you know when it's like hit a different level, but there's just this other way of thinking about it. Like, man, I must have really needed rest. Thank goodness I had the opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
So it's flipping the switch on yourself and how you look at that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's learning to love yourself and accept yourself for who you are, you know, instead of beating yourself up about who you're not or who you're trying to be, whether that's in weight management, whether that's in your mothering, whether that's in how you feel as a wife, a friend, a sister, you know, an employee, depending what your job is. Like, it goes on and on and on. And it really starts in the middle with you. And it's just so hard, I think, for a lot of people. Because it's like, yeah, I love myself. But like, do I love myself? It's like the Whitney Houston song, you know, like learning to love yourself. You know, it really is a lifelong struggle for some people to really do that. And I think that's where a lot of it starts. But I also think a lot of us tend to be like, meaning us four, I want to take that long stride. Like, I don't want to take the baby steps. You know, I want to go from A to S. Like, I don't want to do... But then what happens is you go full speed ahead and then you run out of gas, you know, and then you're not any further than you were the last time. And I do beat myself up, especially about the weight stuff, because it's like, I have diabetes. Like, the doctor literally was like, if you lose weight, it will go away because it's just, you're just over the line. And that was a year and a half ago. Like, you think that would be like motivation enough to do it. Now I'm having like other issues. Like, I'm getting like constant UTIs and stuff like that, which they think, they don't know, but they think that's from the diabetes. You think that would be enough to like motivate me to be like, okay. And I'm always like, oh, I'll do it. And I'll do it after the holidays. And I'm like, no, I'll do it after the cruise. And then I'm like, my son's wedding is coming up. And in my head, I was going to lose all this weight before his wedding. Well, now his wedding's a month away. So then it's like, do I even bother? Like, what am I
going to lose? Is it really a month away?
Yeah. A little
holy
more than
bananas. We got to get our plane tickets.
40 sleeps.
Exactly.
I still have my invitation. Crash, ladies.
Where's my invitation, Neil? I still...
Well, but I'm like, I don't even know like what realm I'm living in sometimes. It's like self-improvement. Know what day it is. Know what month
it is. I'm motivated to know what the F is going on.
Now, I understand you people that are at home and you're not working. how the days can get muddled. You might not know the date every day because I'm working. How do I not know the date?
Hey, I'm working. I just work from home, so I get confused where I am.
All that stuff. And I'm a big self-sabotager too. Like, I just sabotage myself. But I think it goes to having unrealistic expectations. Like, little steps, like if you're talking about weight loss or like eating healthier, is go food shopping and have healthy options in your house. Like, how are you going to be successful when all you get is Doritos and chips and Cheez-Its? Whether you're dieting or not, like, you can't be successful if you're just putting crap in your body,
which I do sometimes,
and then I regret it because it makes you feel terrible. It's fun at the time, but then you feel awful later. But it's like, when you don't have those good, this is just like one example of like, you don't take the step to go to the store to give yourself options to be successful, then how are you going to be successful? Now, secondly, Zoe said I could eat whatever I wanted. So when I am 450 pounds a year from now, I'm going to blame Zoe Potter. I'm just kidding. But I do say that.
Zoe said in one of these episodes to be like, what should Rachel do in this moment? Or like, how is Rachel doing? And Kim's got a magnet on her fridge that says, what would Zoe do?
No, it says Zoe said I could.
I was like, we're going to get shirts made that said Zoe said I could.
Yeah.
That was the only takeaway I had. No, I'm just kidding. It's just really hard. And even with different things, it's like you make these big goals in your mind that like are just so hard to follow through with because they're such big goals, instead of making like these little goals, because it's like we don't see the result with these small goals, so we just want to go right to the big goals. But it's like you're just setting yourself up for failure sometimes when you do that, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think it's hard as like a mom when you have so many other things going on, where it's like we're all pretty busy people, and so our day to day is taken up by parenting, doing this, forms, appointments, meltdowns, you know, managing our kids' lives, that it's hard to motivate ourselves at the end of the day. And when you get those moments of like, okay, there's not a lot going on for the kids like this week, how do I and turn that on myself? Because when you're always doing stuff for other people, it's easier in a lot of ways because that's your motivation. And then when it comes to doing it for yourself, it's like, oh, it's like part of me doesn't even want it because I just want the break.
Right. What? You're depleted.
Yeah, you're depleted. I'm like, I just want to rest, or I just want to like veg out. Like, I don't want to think, I don't want to like set some crazy goals to do this or this and this. So for me, it's always like, okay, what can I do? Like an inch, like to like work on something slowly that I know I won't be able to conquer some big thing, but I'll be able to slowly improve myself, as opposed to like meeting some crazy goal that I just don't have time for in my life right now.
Yeah. And that's exactly, it's like, it's easier to do the easier thing and harder to do the hard thing. Like, that's just, you know,
like, but these things really aren't like they're such big picture ideas, and you don't just leap and get there. It is inch by inch, habit by habit, like really truly changing yourself into, well, for me, I mean, I don't know, but I got to change this thing into a more motivated, or like a more successful, more balanced, more fill in the blank, you know?
But they're all, it's like all grown up and boring now. Like, it's not like the fun things you imagined you would be working on as an adult. It's like, oh,
yeah,
I've got to like myself. What the hell is that? Like, you know, it's just like, oh, that's not the fun things. I was training for like a 5K a couple years ago. Now I'm like, I don't even like, I just need to try to walk for 10
minutes. That doesn't sound fun to me, Jamie. I don't know. Yeah.
I know, but it's like these things that like you want to do that are like, okay, I want to do this to prove myself. And then that doesn't really become as important, I think, as a parent. It becomes working on yourself to like just survive, as opposed to like kind of be extra things, if that makes sense.
So I literally had to tell myself the hour I'm going to take every morning for myself, that's going to make my heart healthier. And I literally mean my organs, like not just like love, because that vacancy is still there, but literally about my body. And I'm like on the internet going, does it really help the exercise? I mean, I was looking for every reason to get off that damn treadmill, but apparently it's really good for your body. Apparently your heart really likes it.
Jen's Google history is like, isn't treadmilling terrible for your heart? How many people like, die what do I have to do while working out?
What do you mean 30 minutes a day? Are you freaking kidding me? I'm dying.
How many people actually get stuck on the treadmill?
heart health is very important, especially mm-hmm. for women. It's like the number two killer, or the number one killer woman. And it's like, okay, I guess I gotta do that. But
it is like little stuff. It's like going out the back door and around the block to go get your mail instead of just going out. You know what I mean? Like there's these little tiny things that you can do to like long-term adjust your sales. I'm not saying that I've lost my love handle since you guys saw me at Hilda's last time. I'm just saying I'm trying to make some better choices on the M through F.
Well, and just in general, for me, like, you guys know in the spring.
I'm eating Skittles right now, and I'm drinking at 10:15 at night. So, I mean, like, let's give yourself a little grace. I'm eating Skittles.
During the spring and summer, I try to go for a walk every day. And, like, for me, like, in the winter, I do get time on my own and stuff. But it's usually, like, I go upstairs and I watch a show or I go sit in the bathtub, which are also great things to, like, recoup and have my own time. But in the summer and spring, I really try to walk a lot outside because it gets me out of the house. The sun does a lot for me. I'm automatically feel my mental health improve. And even if it's not sunny, it's nice for me to get out and, like, not even
breathe the fresh air.
Yeah, and I love my kids, but not even hear them. Because when I'm at home, and like the kids are fighting, and even though my husband's taking care of it, it stresses me out. It's like if one of my kids can't sleep and my husband's taking care of it, I still can't sleep kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
So like, totally. It's like getting out and getting moving and like little things like that. I don't know if I'm working towards a goal necessarily, but I am improving myself in that way.
Yeah.
And like, what I feel like a lot of things we do are just vicious cycles, you know, in balancing, like losing yourself in a TV show is great. It's an escape. I'm all for that. But then there becomes a point where you lose yourself too much. Like, you know,
what are you talking about what happened to me in Suits? I'm like, no, you guys need to shut the
fuck up. Like, is this a General Hospital gig? I don't know, Kimmy.
I'm just saying sometimes it can get unhealthy. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's a point where it's like great to have that escape and that peace where you're not thinking about stuff. Some people get lost in a book, some a movie, some people a TV show, like whatever your thing is. But then there's a point where it's like, I don't know if this is healthy anymore.
Like, don't you think about, like, my daughter's a lot like me. She's really not a fan of the exercise, but she gets fascinated when I'm on the treadmill. She laughs at me. I must look ridiculous. I mean, she just kills herself laughing at me. But I also want to show her that this is what we need to do. The word healthy is a trigger for her. So she must have heard that too many times. She's like, no healthy. Like right away, no healthy, right? So I don't use
it's
that
the
word
broccoli. Anymore. It's your excuse for broccoli and carrots for too long. You did that.
It's just she's over it. And Kaya is now officially homeschooled again. So I said to her, okay, well, we're going to do gym class every day, which is we're starting out 5 to 10 minutes on the treadmill. So I'm just trying to teach her that by seeing me trying to be healthy, hopefully it will show her.
Yeah.
Even if I'm like eating healthier, not like my son's not going to suddenly eat a vegetable. Holy hell no. But my son will have, he's always been one. He will drink a smoothie, which is amazing. And I know this is rough on a lot of people and their kids won't even do this, but I can sneak vegetables into that smoothie. And so when I'm actually, cause when I eat bad, you guys, it's bad. Like I do not put a healthy morsel in this body sometimes. And right now I'm kind of in one of those phases where I'm kind of trying and then I fall off, but like, at least I'm kind of trying. Mm-hmm. But if I have those things around, I'm like, I have more of the motivation. I'm like, why don't I just throw together a smoothie for him? I should be a good mom who's like constantly doing that because I know he'll do it and it will help his body. And we do vitamins and everything like that. But like when I'm working on myself and I'm being better about things, I'm also helping my kids. And like when I'm outside more and doing stuff, like then they are like, one of the things we do, especially like since I'm in Colorado and we're not exactly snowed in the winter, but we don't go out as much. I play like this video game, like on the Switch, like the Ring Fit thing. And it's like this silly, funny game. You're doing squats, you're running, but then my kids want to do it with me. And like, I'm not one to like try to force my kids to exercise, but they want to do it and it's fun. And I'm like, all right, let's move our bodies. Cause when my kids go stir crazy, like the other day it snowed like crazy here. I was like, I put them in their snow clothes. I'm like, go outside. Cause it's just everything, all our mental health goes down. If I'm doing it, then they're more likely to at least attempt to do it, you know?
No, I agree with that because when I'm eating healthier, Alyssa likes to, if I have something and she hears it, I mean, she'll fly out of her room like this. Like, you know, oh, I had peanut butter and crackers. She needs to have it, like, unless it's something she doesn't like. But if I'm having strawberries, she'll want to have strawberries. If I'm having, I got her to eat hummus, which is something she would never have eaten before. I just happen to be eating it with carrot sticks and then she was eating it with carrot sticks. So it is true. It's like, they're going to kind of model. I mean, if I'm eating cupcakes, she's also going to want to eat cupcakes. So it's like,
me too. I also want
cupcakes. Yeah.
But one of the other things I was going to say is like, which is a vicious cycle for me, is the sleep thing. Because I just, I'm not a good sleeper. I've always been a night owl, always, always, always.
Same.
COVID really messed Alyssa's sleep up bad, which her sleep is already messed up to begin with. So like for her sleep to be messed up bad is just, it was bad. I don't feel like I ever fully recovered from that. Plus, I like to have my alone time, which doesn't make as much sense now because my kids aren't little. When they were little, it would make sense. But I just like to be by myself in the quiet with nobody bothering me. And I don't care if I'm staring at the wall, if I'm on TikTok, if I'm writing, if I'm talking to a friend, like it could be any, all those things. And sometimes it can be none of those things. Sometimes I don't even know what I did. Like I used to watch TV a lot. I don't watch TV as much as I used to anymore, but then I'm exhausted the next day. Because now I'm up.
Yeah,
I'm
but the thing of it is like if you had gone to sleep in some sort of crash and burn, like, first of all, I am not the one to talk about like the healthiest way to improve your sleep, okay? Because I think it's a giant waste of time. I feel like trash after I've slept, like trash. Now, I've been conditioned by a Flanagan who is 9 and she's terrible. She's terrible. Worst category, it's the sleep. It's effing awful. So I believe that sleep is a waste of time. But it's like, if I was to crash and burn and pass out, like, you know, when you tip over on the couch by mistake, you wake up feeling like death, like the third ring of hell has encompassed your body. If you take that time where you're just like in the silence and then you decide on your freaking own to go to bed about it, I wake up feeling so much better on those moments than these crashed out shit sleeps, you know, where you actually like sleep way more, but you're terrible.
My problem is if I go to bed at a normal time, which to me is like 11 or midnight, like that's really good for me. I'll wake up more through the night. So it's like, sometimes I like going to bed later because I'm more tired and then I sleep more soundly.
Yeah.
But then I'm tired sometimes the next day. If I do it for, depends, like not if I do it one night, but sometimes I do this 4 or 5 out of 7 nights where I'm just like,
or for 9 years.
I'm at work and I'm like a walking zombie. Like I can't even think straight. And I'm like, why am I so tired? Oh, because you don't know how to sleep.
But this is why, ladies, we should have called the episode Because Autism. Hashtag Because Autism.
Hashtag Because Autism. Last year when I was like doing really good, like I was losing weight, I was exercising every day. And I mean, I told you guys, because I was usually up late on calls with you guys, but like, I've always been bad at sleeping because I'm like, Kimmy, I'm a night owl. And then my son having sleep issues has kind of messed me up. And so he's still not a super great sleeper, but we've gotten to a better place and we're in, I call a pattern where like some nights are just disasters, but like the nights that were okay, like I really worked on like, and I think it helped that I was eating healthier and I was doing the things I needed to and like not taking naps, which would like mess me up because it was a grab bag before. You slept when you could freaking get any sleep at all. And it was like, you might sleep 3 hours like for a nap and you would wake up feeling awful, but that's all your sleep you're getting for like 3 days. So you do it. So I got really good at it. And I know the formula. And it's the same thing with like the weight loss and eating health. I know the freaking formula. Like I got to a good place with it, but now I'm like, oh, I like staying up late because it's my only time alone. I self-sabotage, even though I know I was like doing better when I was doing that. And I was actually sleeping. And if my son did wake up at like 3 a.m., I was okay. Even though I didn't get a lot of sleep that night, the previous nights I got okay sleep. So I could just wake up for the day at 3 a.m. with him. And it wasn't like I was dying as much. It still sucks, people. Still sucks.
There's nothing worse than those early wake-ups.
Oh, gosh.
Or you'd rather be up all night than get a 1:30, 2 a.m. wake-up.
So worse is like them waking up like every hour and a half or so. Or not even waking up. Are you falling asleep and them waking you up for some reason? Because you're not... There's one thing about waking up in the night because you have to pee. Your own body wakes you up. When someone else is constantly waking you up, it's like dragging you through hell. It's insane.
I am a word that's like, see you next Tuesday, if you hear what I'm saying. That doesn't even need a whistle, but you all know the terrible word that it means. If some asshole, even if she's darling, wakes me up in the night, I have to wait like at least 45 minutes or an hour to believe and trust in my soul cellularly, like on my cellular level, that her body is actually asleep. And then I maybe can trust myself to start to wind down, but like, I can't rally. I am not 25, okay? Like, this is not a rally body. No, this is a stay up, go all night, sleep when she's at school Monday through Friday.
See, and I think, like, will go to Christmas. You know, people don't get the whole sleep thing. I think unless you have a child, on the spectrum. They don't really get the sleep thing, which I do think in turn, when you're not sleeping, you eat crappy, your body craves carbs, you're exhausted. Then in turn, you're not sleeping well because your body is so run down. So I feel like that makes it hard to self-motivate. It makes it hard to self-improve because you get into such a rut.
Yeah.
That it's like I said, well, I've eaten bad today. So I'm just going to keep eating bad because I already blew it, you know? So then you just kind of get into this cycle of eating like crap.
You already bought a tub of ice cream.
Might as well eat the tub of ice cream. I mean, I'll let it go to rest. So
I'm in a position with Alyssa now, like she can be left unsupervised if she's awake, but like if she's going to be going to sleep at 3 a.m., I can't go to sleep at 9:30. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I could go to bed at 12 or 12:30. If she's in her room, I mean, she'll get up and eat snacks and stuff once you're in the other room. But I can't leave her unsupervised for 6 hours. Do you know what I mean? Like, even though, like, I don't necessarily have to be awake all the, oh, God, because I could never, I don't even know how I could do that. Because sometimes she's just awake still at 4:30, at 5. Like, it's crazy. But then I feel like a part of you is listening.
I
used to sleep on the couch for a long time. I started going back in the room because my sister moved in with us and, like, my daughter had to sleep on the couch, that's why I went back in the bedroom. And I would just constantly listen for her. Even though I was asleep, I'd be like partially listening. And I don't really do that anymore. Yeah, it's just...
You know, all of us are like, ooh, what day did that start? Did you stop listening through the wall?
Well, what used to happen was my son, he's a gamer. So he used to be on his video game, which our computer was out in the kitchen. So I could go to bed. Alyssa would be in her room, and he said the second my door shut, her door would open. She'd come out. She'd have some Diet Coke. That was like...
Oh, my God. I love her so much. She's such a renegade. She's like, that bitch went to bed
and had her Diet Coke.
She'd have ice cream. Like,
ice cream, Sammy.
But, like, I knew my son was up, so, like I could go to sleep at a certain time. But, yeah, I just think the sleep thing really messes
you
up.
We should have had more kids, Jen. We should have just had more kids.
You would have balanced out.
Yeah, I mean.
Like, well, do you sleep when she's awake? And I will say that the last little while, I mean, I'm turning 51. I am old. I do not have the all-nighters in me that I used to have. But you do kind of get used to it.
You do.
The all-night. But I don't ever get into a deep sleep. I hear her almost every time she gets up to go to the... I mean, our rooms are right across from each other. So by no means am I into like a deep REM sleep where I don't know what's going on. But it's that broken sleep again. It's that you're not supposed to be up all night kind of thing. So then I find that, you know, when you wake up and you're tired and you're sluggish, it's hard to motivate yourself to get going. So.
Well, no, what I end up doing is I end up coming home from work and I'll take a nap. So now I'll sleep.
Oh, a nap is the antichrist.
Yeah. And for me, I'm like, you know, those kids that have like a 15, 20 minute nap and then they just don't go to bed for like until 1 a.m, like that's literally me. Like I'll take a nap and then I'm like, and Neil will be like, why don't you go to bed? And I'm like, I'm not tired. Literally like a child, I'm not tired. I took a nap.
Billy will be like, honey, you think you're not feeling well and you're sick? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know what's going on. He's like, tell me your symptoms. And then I like list a few things. He's like, that's called tired, you dumb asshole. Go to bed.
It's like, I will, in defense of naps, every once in a while, a good, nice nap.
Not me. If I have a nap, I wake up with a headache. I'm sluggish, and I feel like I'm hungover. Like, if I had a nap, I would feel hungover.
A 20-minute nap, a doctor taught me a 20-minute nap is really the best thing, because you don't get that. But for me, it's really hard. If I fall asleep for a nap, it's like 2 hours. But it's really like once a year I really get a nap.
Who even falls asleep before 20 minutes? I'm like, what the f*** is that? I mean, I'm either like a man, or I like could sit there and ruminate for 3 more hours. So like, don't give me... 20-minute nap.
Hey, I've been trying it like twice.
I took a 20-minute nap for the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like that really messes me up because then I'm not like, it's like I'm tired, and if I like actually went to bed and laid down, I might go to sleep. I don't like the feeling of not. I wonder where my children got it from. I don't like that feeling of laying in bed and not being able to fall asleep. I hate it, and I'm not a great sleeper. So sometimes I'll just lay there and it feels like forever. So it's like I have this thing where I only want to go to bed when I'm tired enough that I know I'm going to fall right asleep. And I know this is probably not normal, but sometimes I'm like, no, I'm not tired. I'm not tired. I mean, I literally get in bed, hit the pillow, and I'm like, I'm sleeping. Like the other night, I'm like, I'm just going to do something on my phone because I don't really feel that tired. And I like sat up on the pillows, and Neil's like, I woke up and you were sitting straight up. You had your phone in the potty and you were like dancing. So, oh my gosh. But yeah, so it's like we have these things you have to choose. Okay, do you use this almost as like, dare I say, self-care? Because it's like you're just getting your, I need that quiet time. I need that unwind time sometimes just to like, you know, be by myself. But I probably shouldn't be doing it at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes we'll be on a call and like all of us will be on a call and we'll look at the clock and like, Kimmy, it's like 2 a.m. for you. You should probably go to bed. She's like, is it? It's like literally the middle of the
night. And she like pours more caffeinated Diet Coke.
Yeah. It's those Diet Cokes. I'm just pounding them back.
Yeah. We all have some self-motivation and, you know, self-improvement stuff going on, but we'd love to hear what you think of it, how you guys self-motivate and how you feel you can self-improve. Yeah. We should one last thing it. So let's do that. One last thing. Rachel Flanagan.
All right. I've got one. My one last thing is very recently, my daughter turned 9. You know, the Hellcat that doesn't sleep that makes me look like this. She turned 9 years old. We did this movie theater rental. And the thing that I want to say is that we invited her classroom, her baseball team, all of these people. And as a mom, I was like so hung up on the tasks at the beginning. And then I was so freaked out that like, how can you figure out how many pizzas these kids are going to eat? And then I was so hung up in this thing. And then suddenly we're at this party and the room is filled with all these people that love my daughter. And just today, Allison from Pencils for Lucas wrote a post about being accepted and being like able to be at this family movie and like let her kid be himself, you know, and just be okay with that. And like the biggest, sorry, for Clint, you might have to give me more than a 90 or 60 seconds. The biggest takeaway for me is that she and I both allowed ourselves and our families to be accepted by one another at the level that we could just be okay. And so much so that it's like in public and we can take our pack of peeps, whether it's the 50 of us that showed up to C's party or the 12 of us that showed up to this thing and this, you know, like whatever it is, taking that chance has changed everything for us. So just this, you know, with this one last thing, if you're looking for a sign to connect with that family, just do it. Just do it. It's so awkward at the beginning and it's so uncomfortable. And then you begin to trust that there's like more moms is more possibilities. It's so good.
I can say for one last thing for this episode that I meant to mention is I think trying to have a positive attitude, and I say that lightly because I'm not a very super positive person. I think that does make a difference in your mindset too. And I think that is like one of the biggest steps to self-improvement, that and being aware. I think when we're aware of what we do and our patterns, we can know to give ourselves grace and we can know to really look at the things that we want to improve upon. And I think that is huge. You know, I think perspective for anything in life just, you know, really helps.
I love that.
Yeah. So for my one last thing today, I officially pulled my daughter from public education and officially re-enrolled her back into homeschooling. So if you are feeling something in your gut, but you're scared to do it, just do it. Just do it. I felt this huge weight lifted off me today when I hit that send button. Follow your gut.
Okay, I just thought of one. I got a really sweet message from my mother-in-law today. Even though this won't come out for a little, this will come out a little while after this, but she wrote me about a friend of hers whose grandson is going through a possible diagnosis. And it was just really sweet. And she like thanked me for like sharing our journey and writing, which, I've gotten nice things from family members before that they read or stuff like that, but it was really sweet of her. I don't get a lot of like, oh, thanks for sharing. Cause sometimes I'm afraid I overshare, which I probably do. But it was really sweet. And part of that just reminded me, I think I don't forget about our beginning of our journey, and heavens knows I talk about it enough on here, but I do really want to like put out there that like, you don't have to share your story on some grand stage or have a blog or anything like this, but don't be afraid to talk about your kids and what happens, because it just made me think of like the beginning of all of our journeys and like the denial that comes along with a lot of this stuff and how scary it is and how alone you feel because no one else in your life is going through this, and just the blaring thing in your head of like, this is not how it's supposed to be. When you speak up or you hear someone maybe going through that, you don't have to jump on and scare them. Like I probably do sometimes, like, oh, what do you need to know? Blah, 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 blah. But just being like, hey, I've been through this. And if you want to ever talk to someone, you can talk to me. And that person might not want to talk to you at first at all, because I was kind of like that, but they eventually probably will come to you. And I just thought it was a really good reminder that every day kids are being diagnosed with a mm-hmm. disability. A lot of kids are being diagnosed with autism right now. And at those young ages, you know, it's hard to imagine what your child's going to be in a few years. And it's mm-hmm. really, really scary. So whether you're going through that now or you're a veteran in this life, like always remember to like speak up about it, because it's incredibly lonely if not.
It's also so freeing. That's beautiful. Yes.
Yeah. And it's freeing to find a community. I mean, we always talk about how we forget. Before, like, there was no one to talk about, like, your kid not sleeping, or there was no one, like, you did, people thought you were being dramatic, or they didn't know how to relate, so they just kind of end the conversation. So it's, like, so nice to have friends that I can just talk about that stuff with all the time. It's so, so freeing.
Mm-hmm. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
For no reservations.
Boats and hoes.
Talk like a mother.
Mm-hmm. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Talk Like a Mother Parenting Autism podcast. If you are enjoying our podcast, make sure to rate and review us wherever you listen. And if you'd like to support us, you can become a subscriber. Just check out the description of this episode. Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram for more content, and we'll see you next time.